We're going to be reading Parshas Zohar, which is part of the preparation for the holiday of Purim. One of the profound statements that Rabbeinu Zal makes in Likutei Moran, chapter 54, he begins with saying, Ki tzrichin lishmor ma'oides hazikoroin. A Jew has to guard their memory very, very well, to make sure to remember what's extremely important. Shelo yipoy l'shikcha, not to allow oneself to fall into forgetting. And this is actually the beginning and end of Parsha Zohar. Parsha Zohar begins with the words, Zohar eis asher osa l'cha amolek, remember. And even though it starts with the words remember, it finishes with the words loy tishkach, don't forget. Implying that this is extremely important. This is a critical part of Yiddishkeit. Having the ability to remember and not forget. Not forget what? Over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about remembering that there isn't just this one world that you're in. Most people are totally captivated and immersed in this world. They're created with a body, and all they see is the body, and therefore they end up focusing all of their attention and their entire life on serving and satisfying the body, forgetting that the body has a battery in it. And the battery is what's really the most important, the most significant thing in the body. Because the moment the battery goes, the body can't do anything. And the battery is the neshama, the soul. This is one of the reasons why we're told that the world is called olam. Olam hazeh, olam. The word olam comes from the Hebrew word ha'aloma, hidden. The fact that we need to know, one of the most important things that a Jew needs to know in this world is that there's what you see and what you don't see. And sometimes what you don't see can be much more significant than what you see. In the case of the body and the soul, in the case of the world that we see around us, we see everything, and yet we don't see the most important character, the most important being in this entire world is hidden, totally hidden. Yoshev Choshech Sisroi, Kaviyochel, Hashem sits, his hiddenness is in darkness. In the Shema, we talk about Ula Zikoroin Beineinecho, that one of the main accomplishments of a Jew wearing tefillin, which is one of the most significant mitzvahs in Yiddishkeit, is that it's going to help you remember. It's going to help you remember that there's more to life than this world, this materialistic world. This world is temporary. There's a world that's eternal. When we talk about the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, it's associated with the 70 nations of the world. The Torah throughout speaks about the Jewish nation versus the other nations of the world, the 70 United Nations. The only thing that really unites them is their opposition to the Jewish people. Our focus is on what we don't see, on Hashem, on Olam Haba. We look at this world as a stairway, a stepping stone to eternity. This world is temporary, the future world is eternal. Everything around us, the Olam, the physical world, and all the nations and their cultures that surround us, are all about blocking us and getting us to forget thinking about this future world, covering us with darkness. We know that the Torah tells us in the beginning, the first pasuk is that in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth. The second pasuk says, v'ha'oretz, and the earth was, soihu, v'voyu, v'choshech, al p'nei sohoim. These are four different versions of darkness. And the Sforim tell us that this represents the four different exiles that the Jewish people went through. The Golas Bavel, the Golas of the Babylon, the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, the Golas of Paras Umadai, the Persians, the Golas of Yavan, the Greeks, which is called Choshech, v'choshech, and then Al Pnei Sohoim, referring to this final Golas that we're in today. These are all referred to as darkness. The Hebrew word for darkness is Choshech. Ha-Choshech is the darkness, which is when a person covers up the light. What is the light? The Torah tells us, Hashem oircho va'amitcho. Hashem is our light, and Hashem is our truth. Hashem and truth are light. The opposition to Hashem, all the forces of opposition to Hashem, the 70 nations, all represent falseness and darkness. Of all of these 70 nations, the leader is Amalek. The Torah tells us, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is number one among all the nations of the world. And in fact, there's a pasuk in Bereishis where it speaks about evil, total evil. The pasuk says, Rak Ra Kol Hayoim, only evil all day. And it's brought that the last letters of those four words, Rak Ra Kol Hayoim, spell the word Amalek. Amalek is the epitome, the ultimate, total evil. That's Amalek. And this is why we introduce the holiday of Purim, we precede the holiday of Purim with Parshas Zohar to tell us what Purim is really all about, what Amalek was really all about. Amalek, who is the leader of all of these 70 nations, they're all about getting us to forget what life is really all about. That this world is a preparation, a stepping stone for the next world. We're going on a trip. There are some people who start planning for months before and they start preparations months before. But certainly when a person realizes that it's getting close, it's a certain trip, they won a prize, the ultimate vacation. But there's one thing interesting about this vacation that we can't tell you exactly when it's going to take place. You're going to get a phone call, have to be ready to leave on a moment's notice, on the spur of the moment. Literally, that's what our life in this world is all about. We're here, nobody knows when. We're told that there's a glorious future for those who prepare for the trip, for those who pack. And our mission in this world is to pack, prepare suitcases to take with us for this eternity. Our opposition, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the 70 nations, Amalek, are all about distracting us, getting us distracted as the clock is ticking so that we won't be prepared. And if, no matter what kind of magnificent, fantastic trip a person's going on, if they don't prepare, if they don't take with them what they need, obviously there's no way they're going to enjoy the trip, or sometimes they won't even be allowed to participate. There are trips a person's told, bring this and this. If you don't, you will not be permitted to participate. This is what it's really all about. And this is the Zohar Loisishkach. Now the Torah tells us about Amalek, Asher Korcho Baderech. And there are thousands of interpretations that are written already interpreting every line in Parsha Zohar. This term Asher Korcho Baderech, two of the interpretations that Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman writes about this, refer to number one, kar means cold. A connection with Hashem is an issue of warmth. The Torah, the Pasuk says, ki ner mitzvah, the Torah oyer. The mitzvahs are compared to candles, the Torah is compared to light. We know that these are things that give warmth. The Yetzer Hara, the other side, the opposition, combats this in two ways. One way is, they're offering light and warmth, we'll offer fire, passion. We'll show you sins that can lift up a person's temperature. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yitzra, the evil inclination, the word Yitzra is bigimatria, the numerical value is Eish, fire. So again, the Torah, Hashem is offering fire and light, he's offering bigger fire, instant gratification. That's one method. And the Torah tells us that if chas v'shalom, a Jew takes the bait, if a Jew exchanges the light and warmth of Torah and mitzvahs for the light and fire and passion that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is offering, Hashem has prepared a destination for that person. It's called Gehinom. There's a Gehinom shel Eish. A Gehinom of fire, you chose fire, we'll show you real fire. You think the fire he was offering was something. The Gemara says that the fire of Gehinom is 60 times as hot as the hottest possible fire that anybody could imagine in this physical world. But the Sforim tell us that there's something worse than that. There's krirus, there's kar. There's a person who takes an attitude not impressed. Not impressed with Hashem, not impressed with Judaism, religion, Torah. So, there's spirituality, there's religion, and there's chemistry and physics. This is a mind exercise. That's a bigger mind exercise. This is interesting. This is respectable. That's more respectable. Who gets more respect and glory in this world? The clergyman, no matter how high a level they're on, or the professor, the Nobel Prize of Science? The sitra achra, the other side, offers, tries to cool a person off, to make a person have this attitude of being cold towards Hashem, religion, Torah, and mitzvahs. And the Sforim tell us that the punishment for that, chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, is a gehenim shel kerach, a gehenim of ice, which we're told is much worse. The suffering there is much worse. We can't really tell. We haven't tried them out. But the authority, Hashem, who designed both of these vacations, tells us that the gehenim, the one of ice, is much more painful, much more severe. And that's why Amalek, the head of all of this evil, he's looking for this asher korcha baderech. He's the one to try to make a person cold, not impressed. The Gemara tells us that when an Am Haaretz meets a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, when he meets an important person in Judaism, the first time he meets him, he's in awe. He looks at him like a vessel of gold. The second time, he starts doubting. Maybe he's not so big. How do I know? What's the... His greatness is not necessarily visible now. The greatness of the Talmidei Chachamim is something that we're told we're only really going to see in the future. So how do I know? Maybe not. So the second time he meets the Talmud Chacham, he looks at him as made of silver. He's no longer gold. Silver is also special, but different league. And the Gemara goes on to show the third time it becomes copper, the fourth time it becomes pottery, and the fifth time, it becomes a pottery, a vessel of pottery that breaks, that we know most people never glue that back together. That's something that you just get rid of. This is a threat that we face on a constant basis. This is Amalek 2013. Amalek 2013 is something we face every single day. That a Jew, at times, comes into contact with a tzaddik, or comes into contact with Eretz Yisrael, a holy place. He goes to Miron, he goes to the Kotel Maravi, and if he's zeiche, if he's privileged, he's given a taste. Wow, something special. Sometimes a person feels it, sometimes they don't. Hashem knows when and when a person's supposed to feel more or feel less. But even those people who experience a high in Yiddishkeit, in meeting a tzaddik, or a holy place, or a holy time, Shabbos, Pesach, the Seder, a holy time. The person experiences, and then there's the Amalek inside of him who says, big deal matzah, big deal Pesach, big deal Seder, big deal wine, who tries to cool the whole thing down, to take away that warmth, that passion, that fire for Kedusha, without which it doesn't really function. The Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh once said that just like in order to produce children, everyone knows that it requires a passion, a heat. It requires an Eiver Chai. So too, the Baal Shem Tov said, in order for our mitzvahs, our good deeds, our mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, our Torah and tefillah to produce, it's got to be done with a passion. A person has to be on fire. Chas v'shalom, if a person allows the Yitzhahara to cool them off, big deal, you're coming to shul 5 o'clock in the morning. Came to shul 5 o'clock in the morning yesterday also, and you're probably going to come tomorrow. So what's the big deal? Nothing to get so excited, to be dancing, to be full of excitement and joy. That's the Amalek that each Nevaros are facing every day. And the Torah warns, Zocher, remember. Remember who he is. Remember what his mission statement is, and the way we combat this is, the more a Jew comes closer to the true tzaddikim are the ones who have this zikara in digdusha. They don't forget. They never forget. They never forget their mission in this world. They never forget about Hashem. They never forget how the other side is combating Hashem, and they're always searching for that light. They're searching for the Hashem, the truth, the Torah, and rejecting the fake light, the false lights, the false warmth and passion that the Yetzer Hara is offering, and certainly not allowing the Amalek to cool off, to take away the excitement that a Jew is supposed to feel in Yiddishkeit. If a Jew is not excited about putting on tefillin in the morning, about going to the mikveh, about marriage, about any aspect of Judaism, about matzah, it means that there's something major missing in their Yiddishkeit. Because Judaism is excited. Hashem is called the Chai HaChayim. Hashem is the life of the party. And the Torah is the life of the party. And mitzvahs, that's the life of the party. If I'm not experiencing it, it doesn't mean it's not there. It means I'm not connected. All of us know. You have computers, you have wires, all. You could have it all. If you're not connected, chas v'shalom, the lights don't go on, the warmth, the heater isn't giving off its heat. It's this real connection to Hashem, and especially to tzaddikim. The Baal Shem Tov says, Zeh Hashar Lashem, the gateway to Hashem is tzaddikim. That's the shar. Through them, yovo yuvoi. Through them, a person will really come close to Hashem and be able to experience, to feel the life, to feel the passion in Torah and mitzvahs. We're also told that this Asher Korcha Baderech refers to one of the most important issues in Judaism. We know that the world was created to be perpetuated. The Torah says, Loi l'toyu bara, elo l'sheves yatzra. Hashem did not create the world in order for it to remain in darkness. He wants the world to become civilized, to be lived in, people. In order to do this, this requires holy matrimony. This requires a kosher, special, holy relationship between a man and a woman. This is the first mitzvah in the Torah, and we're told that this issue is referred to as the covenant, the bris. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word bris, Beis Reish Yud Tov, is Bigematria 612. With the word itself, the word counting as one, it's 613. This includes, the entire Torah is included in this. Just like when a person is expending energy, when a person wants to have children, the Sforim tell us that this act, this union between husband and wife, is an act that takes from head to toe every aspect of the energy of the person, literally from head to toe, all the parts, the entire body is playing a role in this. If it's being performed in holiness, connected to Hashem, to the Torah, or chas v'shalom, if it's the opposite, then the person is disengaging, they're disconnecting every single one of the 613 parts of their body. They're either plugging it in or unplugging it from Hashem or holiness. This is why the Torah tells us that what is Amalek? Amalek is Asher Korcha. Amalek is the sin of Keri, chas v'shalom, where a Jew takes this holiest item, this most significant item that we possess, the ability to generate carbon copies of Hashem. We know that a human being is created B'Tselem Elokim. Every single Jew is created in the image of Hashem. When a Jew is zeichet to have a son or a daughter, they're generating kaviyochel, a zirak. A friend of mine once referred to it as a zirak's copy of Hashem kaviyochel. Amalek tries to get a person to miss out on this chas v'shalom, to waste the seed, korcha, balkeri chas v'shalom, to lose this. The Torah tells us that Amalek works in tandem with angels, different angels that are also appointed over this items, specifically the Samach Mem, the angel of death, who is referred to as poison, deadly, and also the angel Lil. We're not permitted to pronounce the full name, Lamed Yud Tov, which represents Laila, nighttime, darkness again, the time when a person is vulnerable to this issue, most vulnerable, which leads to chas v'shalom, this waste, this destruction. And the word Lil, we're told, also comes from the term Yolola, sadness, depression. And the holy Sforim tell us that, again, This is what Amalek is about. Krirus, a coldness. When a person is not warm, when a person is excited and happy, that's warmth, that's fire. To be taken out of holiness in this area and to go into the other side, Chas Hashem, to conduct ourselves with unholiness in this area, Chas Hashem, this leads to krirus, sadness, depression, unhappiness. The solution for it, Rabbi Nazar, Rabbi Nachman tells us that tzaddikim throughout all the generations was searching for how to rectify this, how to correct this. Many of them knew bits and pieces of it, but Rabbi Nazar said he was given the privilege to understand the total solution to this problem. And he said that the solution is found in the book of Tehillim. It's found the passion, the fire that David HaMelech instilled with which he wrote the book of Tehillim, not alone, together with 9 other tzaddikim. There were 10 tzaddikim that united to write this awesome book, the Sefer Tehillim. The word Tehillim is Bigimatria, this angel, Lamed Yud Tov, with the 5 letters, showing that this is the antidote. This angel represents darkness. It represents coldness. The opposite to it is the warm tears that Jewish women and Jewish men are zeichet to spill if they're privileged while they're saying these words of Tehillim. The Tehillim is comprised of 10 different types of song. The grand finale, the last chapter of Tehillim, Halleluka, Hallelukel Bekodshoy, consists of 10 Hallelukas. We're told that Halleluka is one of these 10 types of song which comprise Tehillim, and in some ways represents the holiest. It's kolel, it includes, it encompasses in it all 10 types of song. This is why this final chapter closes with 10 Hallelukas. We're told that the word Halleluka has in it a variety, different versions of Hashem's name. We know that all holiness emanates from Hashem. The word Halleluka has in it the letters Yud, He, and Vav. The remaining letters are He, Lamed, Lamed, Hallel, which have the numerical value of 65. 65 is Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Adon, which is Malchus, ruler, which corresponds to the last He of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. The last He represents Malchus. So we see that the word Halleluka is actually Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. In addition, that we said that the Hallel, He, Lamed, Lamed, is Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Yud, Kei, Vav, the letters Yud, He, Vav, have a numerical value of 21, which is Hashem's name, Ekia. So we see that this word Halleluka has everything in it. It has the 65 and the 21, and the total name is 86, which is Elohim, which means in this one word, which means praise Hashem, this one word contains in it Yud Kei Vav Kei, Elohim, Ekia, Aleph, that 4 names of Hashem. That's nuclear, that's ballistic missile, that's something that's so powerful, which Rabbi Nazar revealed, if a Jew is zeichet to say the 10 chapters of Tehillim that he referred to, the chapters 16, 32, 41, 42, 59, 77, 90, 105, 137, and then the climax, the grand finale, chapter 150, the closing chapter, this is a total solution to correct, to be able to correct and rectify anything a person did. And again, Halleluka is something a person says with joy. Hallelujah. We know when people are excited about something, even in the secular word, Halleluka. That's the exact opposite of this Yilola, of the depression, sadness, heaviness, which is represented by Pegamabris. This is one solution. Rabbi Nazal teaches us that a Jew who tries to look for Jews who are distant from Hashem and to bring them close to Hashem, the Torah refers to this in a pasuk, Im toitzi yokor mi zoylel. Zoylel means something cheap, something insignificant, unimportant. When a Jew becomes distant from Hashem, when they're not living with Hashem, they're disconnected totally from Hashem, they're forfeiting their significance. What makes us significant? Yisrael, we are called Am Yisrael because we're plugged into Kael, we're plugged into Hashem. To the degree that a Jew, Chas V'Shalom, is not aware of that, or Chas V'Shalom intentionally pulls the plug, I don't want to be connected, to that degree that person is putting themselves in this darkness, in this zilusa. The Pasuk says in Toitzi Yokor, if a Jew can take zoilel, something cheap, and turn it into something precious, yikor, Hashem says, then you're like me. You're mamish the closest thing to me. That brings me the greatest joy and excitement of all. And Rabbi Nazal says in chapter 14 in Likut Imran that the word yokor there, yokor is the same letters as keri, that this again is one of the greatest ways that the person rectifies for themselves and for Klal Yisrael this sin of Pigam HaBris. We know that one of the most exciting statements in the Megillah on Purim, which the whole congregation says together, La'yehudim, that once Mordechai and Esther succeeded in bringing about the complete downfall of Haman Amalek, the Torah says then, La'yehudim hoysa oira, v'simcha, v'sosoin, v'kor. We were zeicha to light and happiness and super happiness. And then the final word is, v'kor, this yokor. We were zeicha to correct the problem, the pigam of Amalek, Haman Amalek. Haman Amalek is korcha, this krirus, this coldness, this keri. This is the tikkun for this, is this vikor, the tefillin. The Gemara says this refers to the holy tefillin, which represent shmiras abris, tikkun abris, and it refers to the holiday, the celebration of this holiday of Purim. We start, again, one of the beginnings of Purim is Parsha Zohar. We should be zohar. We who are privileged, who have the opportunity that they allow us into a shul. A Jew walks into a shul, he's supposed to stop. I remember watching my rabbi, Zichron Avrocha, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avrocha. He'd walk in up to the doors of the shul. He'd open the door and stop. Slam on the brakes. And you knew that he was giving himself a few seconds to become totally aware of where he's walking into now. I'm walking into the throne room of Hashem. I'm going to be meeting now with the boss of all bosses. And to be totally conscious of what a privilege that is. So again, not to get distracted, not to forget where I am, not to forget who I am, not to forget what my mission is. We should be zeicha to go to shul with excitement and joy, and to listen to the words of Parsha Zohar. And when we're listening to those words, by hearing the words and concentrating and wanting to drink those words should go inside of us and affect all the cures for the keri, the krirus, to help us remember what we need to remember and forget what we need to forget, and to be zeicha, to get to the oira v'simcha, the light and joy and happiness of Purim, through which we'll be zeicha to get to see the final, the ultimate light and happiness with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Meherav Yameinu, Amen v'Amen.